Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley, Episode 7. Produced and dramatised by Be Here. Chapter 8, Continued.
Nanui Senoturis. The Mysteries of Destiny. The lakeside rang to the sound of swords. Famaris was busy. His and his double's blades clashed in a whirlpool of blows and parries, slowly enough at first for the eye to follow, but soon faster and faster until all movements blended into a blur. Blue metal swished and rang in his hands, deadly and fierce. Famaris loved fencing. And he loved it well. 8 younger generals stood by watching the sparring, weapons in their hands. At last, Famaris dropped the speed, stopped, and erased his double.
Just as before,
he addressed his squad.
Stay in the flow and maintain your rhythm. Then take a lead by dilating time so your blows come in faster. Aim for at least 10 strikes each heartbeat.
Then see if you can make it 20.
Antares' voice finished for him.
Dear sister,
Famaris beamed a smile.
Best surprise of all, true luck befalls us, gentlemen.
He laid his swords on the grass and greeted the Star of Time with a hug.
His disciples paid their obeisance.
The Star of Space was going to add something else, but instead gave Antares a long look and nodded.
I see. We may depart at once. I was about to conclude this session anyway.
He dematerialized his swords and turned to his warriors.
Thank you for your attention today.
His tone was formal again.
Dismissed. We shall continue from this sequence next time. Antares and I are needed in KX9Z92CR0385GIII14. I am informed some of you have missions after this.
He paused.
Generals Elcor and Mizar. You may join us, if you will. It would be valuable.
For a long, long time, nobody said a word. The rain stopped and the shadows deepened around, humid and heavy. The day was dying, fading out, gleam by wizened gleam. Tay finally broke the silence.
I will never forgive myself that I wasn't there by his side.
Words rolled off from his numb lips as though it was someone else speaking.
Light and all gods. Brother.
A tight slipknot of guilt made it hard to breathe. Tay swallowed and put his hand across his eyes.
Never.
It wasn't your fault, Tay. It wasn't anyone's fault. We couldn't have known.
Hale's voice, hollow and raw.
We should have kept closer together.
Tay whispered fiercely.
Oh, we should have, I don't know, done something, anything. We should have been there when he needed us.
He dropped his head and his fists clenched and unclenched under the table.
We failed him, no matter what you say.
Hegel didn't reply.
The world was gone, devoured by thick, viscous, suffocating darkness.
And they were drowning in it. They swore to always stand by each other's side, always. And yet they failed to keep their oath. They failed Farian, their friend, their brother. A waterfall of memories rushed through their minds, happy and sad, big and trivial, details that hardly mattered at the time, but now they came back, sharp, laden with a deeper meaning, strangling all hope, leaving nothing but emptiness and cold. The immensity of loss. Grief, too devastating for words. How could they keep living now? What even for? The evening breeze sighed in the leaves. Feeling a treacherous stinging in his eyes, Hegel shuffled his hands under the table and pressed a meridian point under his right thumb. Emotion control. An old trick from their training. He didn't want the others to see, but nobody seemed to care. Long minutes dragged by.
If only we could go back in time.
Lestari blurted out, staring blindly ahead.
What if?
Dream on.
Tay snapped at him. It was neither the time nor the place for those daft fantasies.
But maybe Antares.
Time only flows in one direction, Lestari.
Hegel told him wearily.
You should know that.
I do, but...
Please, for once, could we be delivered from contemplating your lunacies?
Lestari threw him a defiant glare.
Look, I'm sure there's a chance. Antares said that the time on Legu is not synchronous to Blue Planet. So maybe...
It doesn't go back, synchronous or not. We should think what to do now.
Tay cut him off brusquely. Anger stiffened his face.
Damn dingbat. Wish you could try to be normal for once, at least in a moment like this.
Tay took a deep breath. Losing control right now wouldn't help. It wouldn't help at all. He looked Nasteri square in the face.
If you can't say anything useful, just keep quiet, all right?
Sure.
Lestari gave in with a shrug.
Never mind. Just thought it might be worth asking.
He looked away. Rancor welled up in his heart, not for the first time.
Farian would have understood. He would have listened, at least.
What indeed is worth asking?
Hegel interjected coldly.
It's what we can actually do to rescue him.
Tay swallowed.
You reckon we can still rescue him?
The last two words came out coarse and dry, nearly a whisper.
Apparently, yes. Antares said there was a possibility before she left.
Did she?
Tay wrinkled his forehead, trying to recall.
Oh, Light, yes, you're right. You're right, she did.
He jumped from his seat, feverish at the glimpse of hope.
She spoke of a bridge, I remember now. We have to cross some bridge to get to him, or build a bridge, or some such mindsuck. Oh, I wish the greats would stop speaking in their damn riddles.
He stood above Nasteri and Hegel, a silhouette in the gathering dusk.
Right then, let's try and find Antares and pray that she's still in the talking mood. She's our only hope.
He frowned impatiently at his team, still deaf and listless.
Up, up you two, let's go!
KX9Z92CR0385G314 was a world on the outer rim of the Virgo cluster, a system with two habitable planets. Who would have thought that forlorn pit could summon such danger? The sky was heavy and grey. The rocky ledge where the stars landed descended sharply to the savannah underneath. The cliff was bare, tainted with rust and trickles of mud that ran down its sides. In a distance, a sky city lay in ruins, shattered by the fall and veiled in fires still tormenting it. Wisps of black smoke coiled on the ground.
What happened here?
General Alcor asked. He and two others wore their usual emerald and blue. Antares's uniform was dark green, traced with white gold.
They opened a portal to Kashar Dor,
Famaris said.
The dark dimension is pouring into this world, devouring it.
I thought so.
Alcor furrowed his brow. His thick, wheat-coloured hair was tied at the back.
I've seen a similar thing before.
How did they manage that? It's no small feat.
General Mezar's burly stature, short, slate hair and intense copper eyes were a stark contrast to his battle brother.
The Dark Stars taught them,
Antares replied.
They forced the locals to open the portal?
No.
The Star of Time shook her head.
The locals did it willingly, of their own accord.
They've destroyed their homeworld of their own accord? It's insane!
Not quite like that. They were, well, purposely misguided.
I see.
Mezar snorted.
Usual story?
Yes.
Antares winced at the growing strength of the malign energy around.
They caught the locals doing something stupid, looking for immortality or some such. The demonoids promised to grant wishes in return for obedience, as always, and the locals were naive enough to bargain with the shadow.
Not a single brain cell in the entire party.
In some uncanny way, Mezar's sarcasm was laced with compassion.
In light's name,
he muttered suddenly.
Look!
What seemed to be black smoke billowing from the ruins grew denser and split, shaping into arms, writhing like monstrous snakes against the sky. A hope opened at the end of each and turned into rounded jaws. The eyeless heads lashed towards the stars from afar, as though sensing their presence.
Emikuabash,
Alcor observed casually. The demon's shape was unmistakably familiar.
You two, take that one out,
Famaris commanded.
And whatever else you find, Antares and I will close the portal.
Understood.
Mezar and Alcor saluted briefly. Their faces seemed luminous against the leaden skies.
Meet you back here after the mission is completed. Questions?
None.
Mezar called his swords into existence. Streaks of light ran down the tapered blades. A double-ended staff glowed white and blue in Alcor's hands.
We shall do as you bid, Kaveri.
Two warriors exchanged glances. Danger was in their smiles.
Routine obeisance to their commanders, and both were gone.
The portal opened only a few hours ago.
Antares sounded grim.
But the whole continent is already contaminated.
She traced, with a pensive graze, the souls of the newly dead, swirling around in confusion. Famaris nodded, weighing different strategies in his mind, then looked at Antares, and she nodded back. The guardians cloaked themselves in mirror energy shields, just like so many countless times before when on such missions. The closer to the gate, the denser the fabric of existence had become. Space itself seemed to warp there, decaying into a foul, turbid ooze. Abyss spawned, squirmed, and waded through the sludge, large and smaller, possessed by the only true craving they knew, the urge to destroy all life. Famaris and Antares approached the opening, unnoticed in their shields, and stood on both sides facing each other. The portal was a long cleft, a rip between the worlds, its jagged edges darkened, collapsing inwards, as though burning from the inside. There were no guards. It seemed the demonoids slacked their vigilance now that the gate was fully open. Not many who were not sworn to the shadow would survive so close to the gaping jaws of hell. The great stars threw their right hands forward, casting the rune of light above the cleft. Their movements were fast, synchronous, and silent. Rays of unworldly radiance shot from the rune, locking the opening in a net of golden lines. A heartbeat later, a pillar of white fire plummeted from above, widening, spreading, and finally bursting into a wave that swept across, obliterating darkness in its way.
Aye Anava,
Antares intoned softly and started chanting ancient words to heal the land. Famaris joined her, their voices mixing, blending, until not a trace of the portal had remained. Back on the cliff, their wait didn't take long. Mezar and Alcor returned nearly at once. They called their weapons out of existence and stood before the guardians.
All done according to your orders,
Alcor reported. Famaris nodded.
Great job, generals.
The skies brightened above, the wind chasing the smoke away.
It's time for us.
Mezar and I shall stay,
Alcor declared, his grey eyes flashed with resolve.
I'm sure you're aware, Kaveri. There's an unholy mess to clear up still, lest we want the demonoids to return. We shall take care of it.
A solemn spirit, clothed like a shaman or a priest, appeared before the stars, bowed silently, and faded. Famaris nodded again. He expected Alcor to say that the general was always thorough.
Report on your progress when ready.
Yes, Kaveri.
Alcor and Mezar replied as one, arms across their chests.
I will leave the matter in your hands. May the light guide you.
Antares sensed the quarter's searching plea, but Lagu had to wait. Nuru Sharshutu called for her, where the outnumbered Lank's army was pressed back, decimated by Shiit's legions.
I've never seen Shiit venturing so far into the Western Territories.
Antares contemplated darkly as she appeared on the battlefield. Lank's, one of her lieutenant generals, was there in her green and grey. The inferno of blasts surged and whirled around him. His usually sleek opaline hair was now a tangled mess on his shoulders. Red ran on the right of his face, where one of the attacks had reached it. Lanx's golden eyes flashed when he saw Antares. He thanked her with a mental nod. There was no time for anything else. The right wing was crumbling under the force of the demonic legions that crashed upon it, ripping through the ranks with the explosions of hellfire. They broke through the energy screens, sending fragments of soil and dead bodies into the air. But the defenders didn't falter. Retaliation came, fearless and fast, amongst the new blasts of hellfire hurling forth. Then, suddenly, a bellowing voice cut through the roar of the melee.
Antares is with us.
It rolled through the battlefield as a cry of hope, echoed over and over.
Antares! Antares is with us!
Those still alive rose to their feet again, joining the standing, and with a revived fervor, leapt to attack. Light bolts darted across, tearing their way through the shield, blinding, incinerating flesh. The enemy formation staggered and flailed, scattering into disorder. A dazzling beam of white light flashed in Antares' hands and became a sword.
Tseri Meneltar,
sounded her crystal voice. Flames flowed down the frightening blade. Shiit shuddered with hate, stronger than he could contain.
So, she is here. Splendid. My plan has worked.
The Dark General used his power to clean a passage through the battlefield and swaggered forward, watching Antares come toward him. The two great stars stood against each other, silent. The Dark Army locked them in a ring, the tempo of the battle slowing down as though to wait for the commanders to decide. A grim nimbus of reddish glow shrouded Shiit's hairless head, his black eyes with no pupils fixed on the Star of Time. Two giant snakes rose from his shoulders, lashing venomously.
Yield!
Shiit screamed through the roar and blasts. A spy told him all he needed to know. Alpha Scorpii had been taken over. The power of Antares was no more. Shiit was sure of victory. But Antares laughed.
Take her!
Shiit shouted to his soldiers. On his order, the demonoid sprang towards the Star of Time. It was a mistake. A blast, brighter than thousands of suns, tore the space, obliterating those who stood too close. Death came to them faster than thought. The wounded howled and scrambled back.
It's one of the sacred stars. One of the sacred. Sacred.
Rolled a fearful whisper.
Attack!
Shiit yelled again. This time, nobody moved.
Too scared to fight yourself?
Antares jeered coldly. Her sword swung in a shining circle, reflecting in the metal claws on Shiit's uniform. Rage distorted the Dark Star's face.
Your tricks are pointless,
he hissed and jumped forward. His cloak snapped, bellowing from his shoulders like black wings.
Sacred or not, you'll yield to the might of the shadow, like everyone else.
Antares laughed again.
I yield to no one.
You will. You will.
A black sword emerged in Shiit's hand. So dark, it seemed to swallow the light around. a ruby-eyed snakehead with an open mouth coiled over its crossguard. None of its former owners died a natural death, the legend had it, but Shia didn't care about the rumors. One of the cursed stars, he had the right to wield the sword of Seth, and he did it proudly. The demonoids trembled at the sight of the weapon, shackled with horror. A breath of stupor spread over the battlefield like a wave, and gradually all fighting stopped. Both armies pulled away, divided by a ribbon of scorched land sorrowed by bodies of the fallen. Now there were only two stars against each other, light and dark. Their swords clashing soundlessly at such a speed that they appeared a blur. Shiad leapt back to win a moment's respite, then charged again, thrusting an Antares full in the chest. In a flash, the Star of Time was out of the line of blow. Her sword sang a deadly swish right by Shiad's right ear. The blade bit into the scaled flesh on the right shoulder, and one of the snakes fell, writhing to the ground. Murky, yellow slime fountained from the wound instead of blood. Shiad pivoted in wordless fury, but not quickly enough. Antares' blade raked his face as he turned. The Dark Star let out a furious yell. Darkness, deeper than a starless night, poured out of his eyes. The wild, prehistoric horror that paralyzed the mind and took away the will to live and fight. Shiat's spell of fear was powerless against the Guardian. Only for a brief moment could the armies see their commanders clashing their weapons in a deadly dance. From there, the fight moved to the higher levels of existence that only the great stars could enter. It was not their bodies, but their minds that battled. A will against a will. The light against the shadow. Parrying Antares' blows was like fighting lightning. She moved so fast that she seemed to exist in a different time. With every miss, rage rose in Shiat, a dark, binding wave that gradually clouded his precision. He never thought the fight to take that long. He hadn't expected any resistance in the first place. His movements grew more and more chaotic, and yet he only slipped once. But once was enough. Another strike, and Antares' blade pierced through Shiat's right shoulder, tearing off his arm, flesh and bone, and stopping on his ribs. Shiat's light armor gasped open, slime like blood spurting from the gash. The attack went through his entire being as if his body had exploded from within. The darkness in him revolting against the energy of light. Shiat howled and dropped his sword, grabbing the stump with his left hand. Blood squirted through his fingers. The streams of light stung him, burning from the inside, flowing like hot metal through his veins. The Dark Star slowly went down, clawing for his sword. His eyes fixed on Antares, then straightened up again. The pain forced him to withdraw from the subtle levels back to the lower planes where his army could see their commander again. Swaying, with a distorted face, viciously clutching the black sword in his left hand. Antares soon appeared in front of him, and as fast as that, Shiat swung suddenly and threw his sword at her. The Dark Star wished for it to go right through her neck, but Antares jerked aside. The blade swished past, its edge cutting a bloody trace across her cheek, red spattered on the whiteness of her armor. Menaltar flashed in Antares' hand, smashing the sword of Seth aside before the snakehead crossguard could touch her. The cut burnt like all fires of hell. The black sword hit the ground, skidded and turned, and landed with a rustle of heavy coils. A giant mamba lifted its head in the spot where the sword had just been, rocking from side to side, its ruby eyes fixed on the Star of Time. But before it could leap forward, Menaltar shot up from Antares' hand, a diamond eagle with vast wings and razor claws, and dived from above, burying its talons in the scaled body. In the next moment, its beak cut hard into the flesh just under the snake's head. Sheet shuddered and coughed blood. The monstrous snake writhed and became a sword again before fading into wispy vapor, thin, inky threads that trembled and twined like spider webs. Sheet absorbed them into himself. Meneltar returned and perched on Antares's shoulder. The Darkstar's face was hardly more than a skull now, his eyes glowing with demonic fire. The spy had lied to him, purposefully sending him into this trap. Sheet would find him. Seven hells he would. And he would ask him questions.
We shall meet again.
The Darkstar growled, wheezily.
And soon. No guardians can stop the shadow. You will yield. You all will yield to me.
He shrieked and disappeared, summoning his heinous legions with him. Another instant, and they vanished like a bad night's dream, leaving behind only the dead. The wind sighed over the gored plain. Antares wiped the blood off her face as Lanx walked up to her.
My general,
he began, bowing his head.
Your help was more than timely. The assault was so unexpected, we simply did not have the opportunity to...
I know.
Antares responded. The laceration on her cheekbone was shrinking to a narrow line.
It appears like someone had sent them here. Someone who wanted to bring Sheet down, the way I see it. Double your watch. Have them scan the space around for disturbances. The enemy may return, and sooner than we think.
As you command.
Lanx nodded, and intended to add something more when a sudden spasm cut his breath. The wounds were taking a toll on him against all effort of his will. Antares noticed that. Without a word, she stepped forward and lightly took Lanx by the shoulders. The general flinched imperceptibly, but managed a faint smile.
Thank you.
His lips moved almost soundlessly. It was not for the first time that Antares helped him in the last few thousand years, yet he could never properly get used to it. He felt half a boy again every time she was around. Lanx closed his eyes, feeling a wave of healing energy filling him, easing the pain. The presence of the guardian soothed like a salve. Before he knew it, his body armor was restored, all damage gone as though it had never been. Lanx muttered his gratitude again and shook his head.
There's no other star under whose orders I'd rather serve,
he mused warmly. He thought back to the Battle of Daran Mar, one of the lost worlds restored with the help of the Septenary, and the first time he was honoured to fight by Antares's side. It was a harsh test. He still remembered his shock when Flamard, who led the Dragonis wing, took a hit before his eyes and went lifelessly down. The Arcturus arrived a breath too late to cover him. Lanx froze, watching helplessly, stricken with grief. The battle roar around him seemed to have fallen silent.
Stay present,
Antares called out, seeing the young commander lose his focus. Fierce holy light burnt in her gaze.
You can't get distracted. We're the last frontier. If we fail in our duty, so the world fails with us.
Lanx's army slowly gathered around. Those who had never seen the Guardian before studied her with curiosity and wonder. Antares reached for the Meneltar eagle on her shoulder, and at a touch, it took its former shape. A brilliant ring of light shot from the blade, mighty yet gentle as the candle flame. The shine spread to encompass all.
Enlivening. Healing.
Time seemed to have tarried its flow. One by one, the weary warriors straightened up, feeling strength returning into their limbs. An amazed mutter went through the crowd. Barely visible through the veil of shine, Antares stood holding her sword, still for a moment. But in the blink of an eye, the glow faded and the guardian vanished. Only the wind sighed under the leaden skies. The air was warm and honeyed like mead.
Iwaz is such a blessing.
Antares smiled, cherishing this brief chance of peace. Her dress and wings shimmered white against the grass, her hair a cold spell of silver. Famaris sat beside her.
My world is by no measure better than Legu.
The Star of Space answered, taking Antares' hand in his. He liked the energy born from this closeness. Sweet, healing, and
unexplainably heady.
The bracelets, though,
Antares said, suppressing a sigh.
Having to wear them all the time.
Famaris nodded sympathetically.
Let's hope it's not for long.
They shared the joy of meeting in warm silence. Those who know the unity of souls need no words. The great stars saw existence as the energy it was, the universal wave of light that lay beyond all levels and permeated them all. They could feel, sense, and see the interlinked oneness, a pulsing ocean of life coming from one source, beyond love and beyond wisdom, for it combined them both. A thin flute suddenly gleamed in Famaris's hand. Antares smiled as he sensed her wish. The tunes unfolded their magic gently, sweetly, glimmering all around with the brightness of colours. Aratron may be the master of sound, but Famaris had an incredible talent of his own, Antares always thought. She tried to remember when she heard them last playing together. It must have been a very long ago. After a while, the melody faded. The Star of Time sighed and sat up, her thoughtful gaze wandering over the lake and far beyond to the faint silhouettes of the distant mountains. Famaris threw her a questioning glance.
LAD28TXR64TVIXH.
Yes.
Antares gave an absent nod.
I went there earlier.
It seems there was no fight, though.
No.
Antares' voice rang with troubled consternation.
There wasn't. It was bizarre. Almost as though it was meant to be a trap. There were no commanders amongst them, just Loivari. They didn't even try to fight. Scattered as soon as I arrived. Their numbers keeps on growing. It pains me to see it. I wish they didn't have to learn the truth the hardest way.
She looked at Famaris from the corner of her eye, and suddenly her face brightened with a smile.
I know what you'll say, Fari.
There will be rainbows after this rain,
she uttered slowly, in his manner of speaking. Famaris snorted.
Holy Providence! When did I grow so predictable?
No more a mystery man, huh?
Antares held back laughter.
The one ability I was utterly denied.
Famaris confessed lightly. He studied Antares for a moment, as though hesitating to voice his question, but then he stretched out his wing and gently wrapped it around her shoulders.
On a more serious note, how are things at your end? All going well?
Antares turned away with a passing frown.
One could say so, I guess.
Maybe she did expect too much after all. Despite what Sirit said and what Antares knew herself, a little corner of her heart still hoped that Vega would recognise her. Maybe if not straight away, then shortly after. How could he not? For a tiny instant, she wished that he were already back, as real as Famaris now, or better yet, that he was never gone. But then she forced her mind back to the present.
It's slow,
she replied evenly after a pause. There would have been no point in letting her frustration out.
The shackles of the sleeping mind weigh on him, strangely strong. Almost as if his memory was not simply lost, but deliberately warped.
Famaris narrowed his eyes.
You know me. I will find a way.
Antares continued.
It's just the time. I pray that I have enough left.
What if you...
Fari, no.
Antares shook her head. The afternoon sun touched her eyes with amber shine.
We both know that I can't kiss him. Not now. At the level he's currently on, that kind of energy would ruin his mind rather than wake him up. It would be insanity to risk our mission like that.
She paused.
I have a feeling he'll do it, once ready.
Famaris gave a pensive nod.
If there's anything I can do to help, just say.
I will.
Antares brushed a loose strand of hair from her face, her frown regathered.
I have to go,
she said.
They are looking for me.
I know,
Famaris answered.
Till our paths cross again, may the light guide you on your way.
And you.
They stopped by the outer balustrade. The ocean sighed beyond, laced with white streaks of moonlight.
Left or right?
Nisteri asked wearily, trying to hide his mood. The pointlessness of their search was too vexingly blatant. Staying in Meldian would be a much better choice, he thought. There was no way for them to know where Antares was, even if she remained on Largo.
Right,
Tay ordered at random, just to appear decisive. A narrow path led northwest. Far in a distance, the snowy peaks of the Sonori Mountains shimmered through the dusk. The Umidi River flowed leisurely at their foot, a wide brush stroke drawn in silver ink. The air was fresh and filled with whispers.
We'll get him back,
Tay sputtered suddenly with grim determination, disturbing the twilight calm. Somewhere ahead of him, a night bird cried. Hegel cast his captain a desolate look.
Remember what our teacher used to say?
Tay carried on, a half-manic glint in his eye.
Despondency is a disgrace. We must pull ourselves together. We are warriors. Far is alive, Antares said. He's not gone. There's hope. We'll find him and free him, no matter what it takes.
He paused, then breathed out passionately.
For Deregi's sake, Astara Septenary is our ally. Just think of it. We'll get through this. We'll find a way.
Hegel and Nisteri exchanged glances. Tay's words, simple yet soberingly true, cast off the numbness of grief like a spell. They brought back hope, and with it, a renewed sense of urgency and meaning.
Master Elsevier knew why he had chosen him for the captain.
Hegel mused, pensive still.
Well said, Tay. Thanks for the reminder,
Nisteri said with a hint of derision in his voice.
We were too quick to get blinded by emotions. How very childish.
A disappointed frown etched between his eyebrows.
It's not what we were trained to be. Emotions are useless. They only lead you astray.
He threw his right fist forward and the other two joined him.
We'll get through this,
he echoed Tay.
Our will and light are stronger than anything we may stand up against.
The last glimpses of sunset died away, the world becoming atrament and rustle, grass fragrances and twinkling of the stars. The quarter waded through the meadows, silent for some time.
Not to interfere with your plans,
Hegel finally turned to Tay.
But I think we may sooner find Antares back at Meldian than roaming about in the dark,
he suggested cautiously, not wanting to make it sound like mockery. It would be unfair to judge Tay's decision, given the circumstances.
We don't even know where we are going.
True,
Tay muttered. He suddenly saw the absurdity of their escapade, but shrugged it off.
Listen to Hegel, he's always right,
he quipped wearily.
Well, if you never try, you never know. At least we know now.
Their Silterianese vision served them well, guiding the team through the dark fields and creeks. By the time of the first moon, the Meldian Hall appeared before them shimmering white, as though etched on the canvas of the night sky. They ran up the terrace steps.
To life. Vision without sight.